Thanks for choosing to listen to another City Point West podcast. I trust that this message empowers and encourages you to continue your journey of faith. Enjoy.
Morning. Morning. So good to be here. Thanks, everybody. Morning. All right. So good to be here. So on Friday night, I just wanted to give a shout out to our youth ministry because on Friday night, we actually went to City Point Carindale for their block party, and this was a massive youth night. We went, the Ipswich location also went, and it obviously was at Carindale, so all of their youth people were there. Oh, thanks, babe. He knows I have a cough. I need my water. And we had almost 500 teenagers there on Friday night, which is just incredible. It's crazy what God is doing in our nation, and not only in our nation, but in our city and in City Point's youth ministry right across all of the City Point locations. And not only was there almost 500, but we actually brought 65 teenagers. Like, that was our contribution to that, which is incredible. We average about 40, 50 teenagers every Friday night. And so even being able to bring 65, we loaded buses, we loaded every single leader's car to get all these teenagers there. And it was such an incredible night. It was a really, really fun night. There were salvations. There was, you know, people being set free. And also just encountering that church can be fun and it doesn't have to be stagnant, and that they can be a part of it too. And so a little plug for youth ministry. If you want to be a leader, please come and see us. Or if you have a young person in your life, either a child, a niece, a nephew, a neighbor, whoever it is, then get them along Friday nights to our youth ministry. Sunday mornings, as Cecile was saying, we've got our youth church happening at the moment, which is why it's empty of teenagers in here. And that's so that we can impart into them on a Sunday morning as well. So come along, be a part of our youth ministry. We would love to have you. Okay, my message this morning is called Get Off the Sidelines. Get off the sidelines. And I want to speak a little bit about a story about stubbornness. This is about Brayden, disclaimer. Not about me. I am not the stubborn one, church. It is all Brayden. I'll take maybe I'm 30, he's 70, maybe something like that. So towards the end of last year, Bray actually hurt his back pretty bad doing some stuff around the house. And this is actually pretty common for him. He's young in his 20s, but he has a really bad back. His body's quite old for his age. And so, hey, you know it's true. It's okay. You're always hurting your back. It's old man things. It's okay. Sorry, hey, it's okay. There's only love here. So he hurt his back doing some things around the house. Normally these things, you know, they kind of fix themselves up after a week or so for him. And so a couple weeks go by, it's still not good, still not getting better. And I realize quickly that I'm like, okay, this is more of a significant injury than we realize. He probably needs some help. And so I tell him, hey, I've got an osteo. Shout out to Pastor Tim. I go to his osteo. It's a great osteopath. And I'm like, you should go see him. He's really helpful. Here's his details. Go get some help. Fix up your back. You're not able to work. We're down to a single income. Like, we need some help here. And classic male response, no, she'll be right. It's fine. Can I get an amen? Not listening. Amen. Thank you. No, she'll be right. It'll fix itself. It'll come good. I just need to sleep a bit more. I just need to lie down. It'll be okay. Classic Brayden. Always wants to sleep. And then we get to 6 weeks. 6 weeks. He has not gone to work. He's casual. That's no income for us. We're on a single income. And I am like, enough is enough. This is ridiculous. Thank you. And so I do what any good wife does, and I give him an ultimatum. And I say, a friendly ultimatum, it's okay. A friendly ultimatum, and I say, okay, you are not going to Speedway until you go to the osteopath. And if you know Brayden, Speedway is a big deal for him. This is a massive part of his life. He goes almost every weekend. Most of the time I go with him. And so this really clicked him into gear. And he was like, okay, all right, I will go to the osteopath. And guess what? Osteopath fixed him up in 2 weeks, got all these appointments done, was actually very surprised at how bad his back was. Got him all fixed up, 2 weeks, all done. And then does Brayden admit that I'm right? No, no. half admitted that I was right. And he got a little bit of a begrudging, like, oh, I should have gone to last year earlier. Sure. And that's about it. But I'll take it. I will take my win. I will take my I am right. The church agrees that I am right, babe, okay? And so, stubbornness on Braden's behalf actually stopped him from being able to get better sooner and being able to get better within the 2 weeks that the osteo worked on him. And instead it was a whole 8 week, 2 month ordeal of him having a bad back. And you know, it really made me think that there's also someone else in the Bible that is quite stubborn and that shows a lot of stubbornness in his life, who was very disobedient to God, who ran away from God, who put, honestly, I think more craft into running away from God than actually doing the thing that God was asking him to do. Come on, again, amen. Sometimes we can be like that too. Yes, he fought God every single step of the way. And of course, I don't know if you guys have clicked on yet, but I'm talking about Jonah. Jonah in the Bible. Now, Jonah was actually a prophet for the Lord. So he was mentioned one other time in the Bible outside of his namesake, the book of Jonah, when he provided a word to King Jeroboam. I'll say that correctly, Jeroboam. In the Bible, he provided a prophetic word to him. So he was actually a prophet for the Lord. He wasn't just some random guy that God chose. Jonah was a prophet. He was built for what he was called to do. And, you know, we may think that Jonah is a children's story. I'm sure some of you have heard it in kids' church or in Sunday school, things like that. I know I did. That's how I know about the story of Jonah before I started to really deep dive into it. But what it actually is and what I reflect on it is that it's actually much really multifaceted and is actually deeper than we think when you really look at it past the kids' church context and the kids' church view. And what it really is actually a reflection on us and a reflection on our own humanity, on our own failings, on our own sinful nature. We are humans, you know. There was a fall in the garden. We have been sinful by nature since this point. And Jonah is a great reflection of that. We see in Jonah 1, verse 1 to 2, we see what God is asking Jonah to do. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. And if you know the story of Jonah, what does Jonah do? Runs in the total opposite direction. He goes to Tarshish, which is like the east is from the west. He was like, nope, I do not want to do that. I am not going there. I'm going the total opposite direction. And what Jonah does is that he boards a ship. He's like, I'm not just running. I'm going by boat. I'm getting away from what God is asking me to do. And what does God do? God sends a storm after him. And I think sometimes we know the story, and so we might reflect and be like, oh yes, we know it's a storm to get Jonah's attention. But we don't know if Jonah actually knew that. We know that Jonah knows it's sent from the Lord, but he might have also thought, oh, this might be to kill me. Like, I don't actually know. And I think it's interesting that we know the context of it, but we really don't know if Jonah knew that. And so the sailors, they're terrified for their lives. They think they're going to die. This storm is ferocious, and it's big enough to kill the sailors, to drown the boat, and it's definitely big enough to kill Jonah. But Jonah says, throw me into the water, and the storm will pass, and my God will stop bringing this storm against you. And of course, like Jonah, I don't think he knows if this is going to kill him or not, if what's going to happen. So he gets thrown into the water, but we know that this is not God's plan, that Jonah does not die when he's thrown into the water. Instead, God sends a big fish, which we know to be a whale, that comes and swallows Jonah and keeps him safe within the whale. And he keeps him there for 3 whole days. And he keeps him there as a way to prepare Jonah's heart and as a way to prepare him for what he's calling him to. And sometimes we can be stubborn. We can be very, very stubborn, church. Jonah needed a storm, a whale, 3 days to finally do what God had asked him to do. And even then, he did it begrudgingly. And so God used this whale to prepare Jonah's heart. Jonah finally repents And he says, okay, God, I'll do what you have asked me to do. And so then God has the whale spit Jonah out. And he goes to Nineveh and he preaches to the Ninevites, which Nineveh, as it says in that verse that we just read, was a place that was full of wickedness. It had turned away from God. They were worshipping things that were not of God. And so Jonah goes to this place and he preaches like the shortest message I've actually ever seen in the Bible. It's just one like single little line. But it doesn't matter often what we say, church, because God's presence, if he's in it, is there. God's presence was there. And so the people of Nineveh, without even a second thought, they throw off their robes, they put on their sackcloth, they repent to God and they say, I'm sorry, God, we are going to worship you. We are going to follow you. And Jonah fulfills what God had asked of him. He was obedient in that. And then we see the book of Jonah go on, which a lot of us don't actually sometimes realize is that when we're reading the kids' church story, okay, great, people of Nineveh repented, they're done, and then the book ends there. But it actually doesn't. There's a whole chapter sometimes that we miss when we're, you know, in the kids' church stories and all of those sorts of things. What we actually see is Jonah become angry at God for doing what he said he was going to do. And I think that's actually funny because when have we ever been angry at God for doing what he said he was going to do? I know sometimes I'm like, God, would you just do what I'm asking, what I'm praying? And then Jonah's actually upset at him for doing that, which I just find so mind-boggling. So he becomes upset. God, you know, takes a little bit of pity on him, gives him a tree to give him some shade, and then takes the tree away and has it die by a worm. And then Jonah becomes all angry again. I honestly picture him as a little bit of us sometimes when we have a bit of a temper tantrum at God. God's taking pity on him and he's like, oh, like whatever, like I don't really care. I'm annoyed at you. You did what you said you were going to do. And then God says, how can you be angry at a tree that has died, that, you know, I provided the shade, I took it away. How can you be so upset at the tree when the people of Nineveh are worth so much more than this silly little tree that I gave you for a day? And then the book ends there. We don't hear Jonah's response. We don't see what happens after that. All we see is God essentially put Jonah in his place, and then it just finishes. And that's also okay that the book just ends there. We don't need to know Jonah's response. And it's okay because this whole book is deliberately placed in the Bible. It's not by there by mistake, but it's a reflection of us. Jonah is a reflection of our own humanity, of our own failings, of our own temper tantrums at God when he's asking us to do things that we don't want to do or that we don't think that we're ready to do. That's also a key, church. Sometimes we're not ready. We feel like we're not called to this. God, I'm not good enough for this. I can't do that. Because like, no, get up. You can do it. It's okay. You can be like Jonah. And so what is God calling you to? What is he trying to prepare you for? What is God trying to bring you into? And what is stopping you from doing that? So now we're going to look at the whale in the story. So point one is, what is your whale? God had to keep Jonah at bay. He had to keep him in this spot, in the whale, for a few days in order to prepare his heart. So I want to turn to the neighbor next to you and say, what is your whale? What's your whale? Really reflect on that. Come on, really reflect on that. We all have whales in our lives. And yes, this is a metaphorical whale, okay? We're not talking about mother-in-laws or something like that. We're not calling people whales. We are calling, what are the things in your lives, church, that are holding you back? What is keeping you on the sidelines of the calling that God has for you? What is keeping you back? Is it a friendship? Has God been talking to you about a friendship that's not healthy for you, that he's been convicting you on? Is it even a relationship? Is there a relationship that God is trying to direct and pull you away from, but you're like, no, 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 it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, because like, hey, this is keeping you from what I'm trying to bring you into? Is it even your own fear? Sometimes we can just get in our own way. And it's not external circumstances or necessarily things that we have to cut off from our life, but it's our own fear and our own thinking that we're not good enough. No, 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 like that's actually not what God said. Like he couldn't have possibly told me to do that because I can't do those things. I'm not good enough for that. All of those sorts of things. I've had those thoughts myself. But these are things that can keep you from doing what God is asking of you. These are things that kept Jonah from doing what God was asking of him. Or maybe there's nothing keeping you on the sidelines, but you're actually not a bench warmer. You're not a bench warmer on the sidelines, but you are more of a flip-flopper. And what I mean by that is that you're like, okay, God, I am ready. I'm going to step into your calling. I'm going to come into church and I'm going to join the youth ministry. That's a prophetic word. or to the kids ministry, whatever. You're like, okay, God, today is the day. And then you come up and you're like, oh, I don't actually like what that worship leader's wearing. So not today. I don't really think I'm feeling it anymore. And you're flip-flopping. Come on. Or you're coming in and you're like, oh, I don't actually like what Pastor Tim said. He was wearing his spearfishing hat and I don't like spearfishing, so I'm not going to listen to anything that he says. Or maybe you don't even like what I'm saying. And so you're keeping these as excuses from what God is asking you to do. And can I tell you as well, Christianity is not comfortable. Being a Christ follower is not comfortable. If you aren't being convicted, if you aren't, hear me on this, if you aren't being offended by somebody, by something that somebody said, then honestly, like you're being neutral. You're not following God because sometimes church is uncomfortable. Sometimes leadership is uncomfortable. And we have to be bigger than that. We have to be bigger and get uncomfortable. If you are not uncomfortable, then you're not moving forward. We all know what growing pains are. We all had them as kids. When you know, your legs hurt and you have to have the Epsom salts bath because you're like crying that my legs are hurting. But they're growing. They're growing you. Growing pains hurt. Moving forward in the kingdom of God is not always easy. Moving forward in what he is calling you to and what needs to be taken off your life to get you there is not comfortable. And that is okay. That is okay. Was Jesus comfortable? I don't think so. I don't think he was comfortable on the cross. That's the idea of it. Christianity is not meant to be cushy and not meant to be like a warm cuddle. And sometimes it can be with the Holy Spirit, but not always. And that's okay. And the way to do this, church, is to be accountable to somebody, to be accountable, to get planted in the house. You can't serve, you can't walk into your calling without being planted somewhere, without being stuck in somewhere. In Psalms 92, 13 to 15, it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. There's a thing that I like to say recently that God's really planted in my heart, and it is, what is your sacrifice compared to Jesus's? What is it compared to dying on the cross for you, for me, for the people in our community? Sometimes it can be uncomfortable, but what is that sacrifice in comparison? It's nothing. It's a tiny grain, if I'm being honest, at least for myself, that's how I view it. And you know, it can be hard. Like, I'm not going to stand up here and say that I don't sacrifice or we don't do anything. Like, Braden and I, we work full time, if you didn't know, in secular industries. We don't work for the church. We do youth and young adults as volunteers. We do this outside of our full time jobs. We also run a business on the side. We do Speedway, which Braden loves and I loathe, but that's okay. That takes up a lot of our time. We run a life group. We do all of these things. And I'm not saying that to say that we're better than anybody in this room, but I'm saying it to say that there's no excuses. And if you don't let those excuses get the best of you, you can walk in the blessing of God and you can walk in the calling of God. On the other side of your sacrifice is your calling. On the other side of your sacrifice is the blessing, is the covering of God, the covering of the Holy Spirit. And we've seen that in our own lives, in our personal lives, in our ministries. Like, youth is just exploding, like I said at the start. It is just going absolutely next level. And I have been in our youth ministry for a long time, for over 10 years. And so to see all the waves and things that it's gone through and to see where it is now is absolutely astonishing. We have some leaders that are coming up that are actually like just next level. I'm really, really excited to see how they move the kingdom of God forward, how they move this church forward. And so there is blessing, there is covering, there is fruit on the other side of your sacrifice. And if we just would stop listening to our own flesh, if we would stop listening to the things that say that it's too hard, then we can step into that. And so what is stopping you? You might be saying, oh, I don't want to join creative because I'm not talented enough. You can learn, right, Deb? You can learn. You can learn things. It's okay. Even if you don't have rhythm, we'll teach you. It's fine. We can put you on the multimedia desk if you're really that bad. It's okay. No. That one was a delayed one. That was good. Sorry, you're very talented. I'm very sorry. I didn't mean that. In that way, you're very talented. I appreciate our tech guys. You might be saying, I'm not outgoing enough. I'm not extroverted for the youth team, for the kids team, for whatever. You don't have to be. There are so many different things that you can do in these ministries. You don't need to be, you know, the most extroverted person in the world. Brayden says all the time that he's like, I don't always like people. I don't always like making small talk. And he's amazing at youth. Like, you can pull it out when God is calling you to it. The gifts just come and they just flow. There is admin, there is events, there is cafe, there are so many, there's adults, there's life groups, there are so many different things that you can serve in. I promise that you can't find an excuse for them all, unless you're really talented, then I'm convicting you of that right now. And the Holy Spirit is doing that. Be active in the call of God on your life. Don't sit on the sidelines. We are not called to sit there. We are called to be in the game. Be in the game of the call of God. Be pushing forward. Join that team. Get off the sidelines and get into the call of God in your life. And if you don't know what that is, if you're like, great, call of God, what is that? I don't know what that is. Come grab one of us. We will pray with you. We will help you to discern the Holy Spirit and to learn what is going on. Or just try it. Brayden always says that he just tried youth ministry because someone asked him. And look at him, he's never left. Now he's leading it. So just try one. It's fine. And as we go further into the story of Jonah, we see that God has the whale spit Jonah out. And then he finally goes to Nineveh and preaches to them and has them repent. And that God did not destroy the city as he said he did, as he said he was going to. And he allowed them to live. And in chapter 4, the one that we always neglect, we pick up Jonah's response here. It says, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and a compassionate God, that you are slow to anger, that you are abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Dramatic, right? Jonah's dramatic. He's dramatic. Who has ever said to God, it'd be better for me to die than to live? I don't want to go to youth tonight. I don't want to be on the host door tonight. It'd be better for me to die than to live. That's ridiculous. Like, come on, Jonah. Calm down. And so, point number two. What is stopping you? It is only here at the end of the story that we actually see why Jonah was so resistant in the first place. If you've never read it before and you're going through, you might think, oh, you know, he's fearful. He doesn't like talking in front of people, all these sorts of things. But no, I think there's actually, he was apprehensive and fearful that God was going to do what he said he would because he judged the people of Nineveh. He didn't think that they were worthy of what God was going to bring, that God was going to give them the opportunity to repent. And Jonah didn't like that, which is really interesting. And I just want to ask yourself as well, is what are you doing in that space? Can't we be like that sometimes? We can be judgmental. Humans can be horrible sometimes. We have a sinful nature, and sometimes our default can be to judge. And Jonah almost let this judgment of Nineveh, of these people, to stop him from stepping into the call of God, from stop him from stepping and being obedient. He did let it stop him. He ran away and he had to sit in a fish and reflect for 3 days until he was finally let out. And we can be like this. Sometimes we can think, oh, you know, God's asking me to pray for this person, but I don't really think that they're going to be receptive of that, and they don't really seem Christian, or I think that they'll like just scare me away or something like that. So I don't really think that I should do that, so I'm just not going to do that. Or, you know, no, like they've got too much going on. They don't want to be a part of church. They don't want to be a part of things that are happening. So I'm just not even going to try. I'm not even going to ask the question. It's okay. Or, you know, Deb doesn't want me on the creative team. I know that she doesn't. I'm not even going to go approach her and ask. We can think things like this, and we can make assumptions about people. We can judge people and think that we know what they're thinking, think that we know what they believe, when we don't. Assumptions can kill. Assumptions are a killer. And can I tell you as well, these thoughts, these things are lies. That is deception from the enemy to keep you out of the call of God, to keep you away, to keep you fearful, to keep you in your box so that you don't move out of your box. You don't get to push forward in the call of God. And it is not what God has for you. God is calling you. And we can sometimes fall into the trap as well, into thinking that we know more than God. In all of these reflections, God's asking you to do something and you're saying, oh no, like I don't think they're ready. I think God would know if they're ready more than you. Like, come on. God would know if they're ready more than we do. He knows our innermost workings. He knows our heart. And he knows those hearts of the people that he's asking you to step out, to serve, to help, to minister to outreach to. God knows their hearts, just like he knew the Ninevites' hearts. He knew that the people of Nineveh were one message away from repenting, from not being destroyed, from calling and coming back to God, throwing on their sackcloth, which is them throwing off the things that they idolize with their clothes and their jewelry and putting on something that's ugly and cheap and putting it on and be like, no, we are going to follow God. We are going to follow God. God knows people's hearts. He is calling you into it. And this is what we're called to do. What is the Great Commission? To go out into all the world and to preach the gospel and to make disciples of all nations. Making disciples of all nations. Making disciples, church. And that could be being on the host team, smiling, greeting people, bringing them in, whatever it is. It could be leading a life group. It could be being part of one of our ministry teams. It can be so many different things. Even making coffee in the cafe is a ministry. There's nothing that's belittled in the will of God. There's nothing that's belittled in the kingdom of God. And even our City Point mission statement is to unmistakably influence the world for good and for God. So I want you to reflect, what am I doing, God? Let this be your prayer. What am I doing? Am I unmistakably influencing my world for good and for God? Am I making disciples of all nations? Am I working in this, God? Or have I been running away? Have I been like Jonah? Well, would you even, if I'm not ready, would you put me in the whale like Jonah? And would you prepare my heart so that I can be ready? And again, if you don't know how to pray those prayers, if you don't know how to discern the Holy Spirit, then come and grab somebody. Grab your life group leader. Grab one of us pastors, leaders, whoever it is. We are always open and ready to pray and to stand with you. And our final point is, what is your Nineveh? And we'll have the keys come up. Thanks, Pastor Wendy. What is your Nineveh? we look back at the destination for Jonah. The destination of his calling in that moment was Nineveh. What is God calling you into? What is your destination? What is the thing that God is trying to pull you towards? Reflect on that. Jonah goes to Nineveh. He preaches the gospel. They repent. They turn to God, all because Jonah was obedient. He acted in the calling of God. He took on what he learned in the whale. He took on what he learned. And I just want to ask as well, are you receptive to correction? Are you receptive to what the Holy Spirit is asking you to change, to move, even what your leader is asking you to move in? That can also be such an important part of our serving, of our servant hearts, is if we don't grow, if we don't move forward, then what are we doing? We're just staying stagnant. We are not moving forward. And the Bible says that this life that we live is the narrow path. It's not the wide road. The narrow path is uncomfortable. And as I always picture it as you're going down, you know, a narrow path in the bush where you're not really sure about honestly where the track goes, but you're just hoping for the best. And there's, you know, trees and different things that are hitting you and you're like trying to step over things and all those sorts of stuff. But I reflect on that in the spirit as I'm walking that narrow path and as things are hitting me and, you know, making me like get pushed down or pushed over or whatever it is, that's the Holy Spirit stripping stuff off of me. I don't know if you can picture it in your mind, but I picture it, I'm on the narrow path, Lord. There's things that I stumble on, there's mistakes that I make, but I'm moving forward. And as I move forward, those things that hit me and that bump me and whatever, that's you refining me, God. That is you refining me. That is you stripping off the things that aren't of you and you're putting in the things that are of you, that you are calling me into. Correction, even though it's uncomfortable, is so necessary. Growth, even though it's uncomfortable and it hurts, is necessary for us. Faith, even though it is hard and it is uncomfortable, is necessary, church. This is all necessary for us. Jonah was hardened against God, but in that whale, he repented and he rediscovered his faithfulness. In Jonah 2:8-9, this is Jonah as he's repenting and he's realizing that he needs to go to Nineveh. He says, "Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will be obedient to my calling. What I vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord." We see Jonah's turning point here, that he is willing to walk in what God is calling him to. What is on the other side of that sacrifice for you? We can be stubborn, we can be hard-headed and hard-hearted, but God is still there. He is still right there beside us. And you might even be here being like, well, God, you know, he told me to move in this way or to act in this thing, to walk in this calling, but that was like 5 years ago, that was 10 years ago, that was last year, whatever it was. And you might be saying, but I'm too broken. I've done too much since then. That's when I was in church and everything was going well, and now I'm only kind of just coming back and I've made too many mistakes and God's not calling me to that anymore. How do you know? We can never make too many mistakes for God. We can never make too many mistakes and sin too much or all of these different things to be taken out of the call of God. If you can be like Jonah, if you can be like the Ninevites and repent and you can come back to God, then you can still step into your calling. There is nothing that can hold you back except for yourself and your own belief of the lies of the enemy. That is the only thing that's holding you back. What's your whale? Reflect on that. What is holding you back? What is pulling you back from the call of God? Because sometimes we can get in our own way. I know I've often gotten in my own way. I know that I have also made mistakes, and I have also sinned, and I have also stuffed up. We all have. We're human. Unfortunately, it's our nature to do that. But we have a good and a gracious God. We have a God that sent his Son to die on the cross so that we could be forgiven, so that we didn't have to walk in shame, so that we didn't have to walk in condemnation, but that we can be convicted and that we can walk in all that God has for us. We don't have to strive. We don't have to try. We don't have to do anything except repent and to ask God for forgiveness and then walk in that way. And you know, that's why it's called the Good News Church. It's called the Good News because it's hard, but it's also easy. It's hard to walk on that path, but it's an easy choice and an easy decision to make. And we don't need to do anything to earn it. We don't need to do anything to strive for it. God has it there as a free gift for us. He's sitting before you with his hand out with this gift of forgiveness, of redemption. Would you take it, church? Would you take it? Would you be redeemed? Would you repent? Would you step into what God has for you? All we need to do is take a step of faith, a step just like Jonah did. He's like, okay, God, I'm going to come before you and I'm going to repent. And as soon as he gets out of that well, what does he do? He takes that step. He goes to Nineveh. He is obedient. And he has a temper tantrum after, but that's okay. We can also be like that. We can step into our calling just like Jonah did, and then we can still stumble. You might, after this point, step into it and then have a stumble. And that's okay as well, because we have redemption. We have the gift of God. We have the gift of Jesus' sacrifice. And God is right there beside us to pick us up, to dust us off, and to say, okay, keep going. Come on, keep going. This is what I'm calling you to. It's okay. You have to keep going. Let's go. Let's move forward. And you may be unsure of your calling and of what God is calling you into. It's okay. We're going to pray in a moment and to have ask for the Holy Spirit to come down and to give clarity over that. But you may also be sitting here thinking like, okay, I want to take those steps. I want to take my step into my calling, but I haven't even taken the first step. I haven't even asked Jesus into my life yet. Or maybe like that person where you've fallen down, you've done some wrong things, and that's okay, but you want to come back and you want to reignite and you want to take that first step again. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, what we're going to do in this moment is we're going to give you that opportunity to come back to God, to take that first step, church. And so right now, if that is you, if you want to come back to God, or if you want to come to God for the first time, then I would love you to raise your hand just so I know who I'm praying for, so that you can make that physical decision, that physical declaration before God. Right now, as I'm looking around, is there anyone who wants to make that decision this morning? God, we thank you. We thank you for those that have even held it in their hearts, Lord God. Lord, that you are calling them back. Lord, that you are covering them in your grace, that you are covering them in your redemption. You are covering them in your Holy Spirit, my God. Lord, we thank you for the good news, for the free gift that you give us, and we receive it right now. In Jesus' name, thank you, my God. And right now, I also just want to pray over anyone that is needing clarity on their calling, that is needing clarity on the things that are going on, that even the turmoil that you might feel in your heart right now. So we're going to keep everyone's heads bowed and eyes closed. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would cover this place. My God, that you would have these people, that they would hold it in their hearts what you're calling them to, my God. Lord, that they would be helped to identify what's holding them back. What's their wail, Lord God? What's the judgment? What's the things that are keeping them back, Lord God? That you would reveal it to them, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray that as you reveal it, that you would make it go away, Lord Jesus. That it would be done away with, my God. That they would be refined by the Holy Spirit. Refined in Jesus' name. That you would give them the strength, God, to even to give it up. that as they take that free gift, Lord God, that they are giving you what's holding them back, Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit, you would lead them in that. And God, I just pray for clarity over minds, over spirits, over hearts, Lord God, into what you are calling them into. Lord, I pray that even right now, Lord, that there is just pictures, there is words, there are things that are coming into their minds, coming into their spirits right now, Lord Jesus, that you would make it clear. Make it clear in their hearts, make it clear in their spirits, my God, and give them the boldness, give them the courage to be active in that and to activate that calling, my God. God, we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for who you are. Lord, you are a good God, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I know this message will keep speaking to you as you continue your day. So for more information about City Point West, jump on citypointchurch.com or follow our social media accounts, Instagram, City Point West, or our Facebook, City Point Church West. Have a great day.